Welcome to episode 9 of Widnes Rugby Chat in 2025 with myself, James Gordon, and Mike Parsons. We're looking ahead to Widnes's 1895 Cup quarter final against York Knights this weekend after probably a much needed weekend off for Widnes last time out. And Mike, I've seen the club have posted a few clips and photos of last season's meetings with York. The last of which, of course, was that playoff match, which, to be fair, Widnes were certainly second best in that match and probably didn't do themselves great justice in that final game last season. Is that fair to say?
I think it was, in terms of a reflection of the game itself. We were certainly second best, wasn't we? And, you know, York, they run Wakefield close the round after, didn't they? So that shows how good of an outfit they was, certainly last year, and they finished the season really strongly, didn't they? This time round, probably a bit of a different set of circumstances. I think that last game against York last year, from our perspective, of course, you know, sides get injuries, they all carry them, but I think, if everybody's being brutally honest, we was ready to finish at that on that day. I think we was down and out. We had bodies playing who probably really wasn't fit. I think I remember Martin Riley playing up at Barrow and at York and wasn't quite match fit. And there was probably others in there as well who were sticking their hand up and putting a jersey on. This time round, travelling up there with what we've got, you know, pretty healthy, apart from, you know, Lewis Hall and Jordan Johnson. And if you can throw Kai Taylor-Ray into there, that'd be a massive boost, a massive threat for us. York are carrying a couple of injuries / doubts for the game. I think Liam Harris, Atta Regano are doubts. Connor Fitzsimmons, he's a doubt as well. So they're big players for York. And obviously as well, York traditionally don't start the season very quickly, and they've had a couple of slip ups, haven't they? But I think against Batley and Barrow, you're starting to see them coming into a bit of form now, so it should be a cracker.
Yeah, I mean, Widnes did win at York last season in the regular season fixture, a 22-18 win, which was actually, I think, one of Widnes's best wins last season. It came at a time where, it came at that funny time of the year, which we're almost heading into, where Widnes always seemed to have a bit of a wobble around May time. Now, they'd sort of slowly got into the wobble season last year, had a narrow win over Bradford, narrow win over Doncaster, drew with Whitehaven, lost against Toulouse. But it was the win against York, even though Widnes lost Widnes actually lost the next four games after that. The win over York was so crucial, I think, in maintaining Widnes's top six position at that time, because I think York were obviously making ground back, and Widnes winning that game just gave them a little bit of a cushion, which meant that even though they lost the next few games, and of course Widnes didn't lose, you know, Widnes have never really lost by too many since Alan Coleman's been the coach. That win at York last year was for me actually a big moment in the season. Obviously, it's the cup this week. It's the 1895 cup, and Alan Coleman's made no secret that it is something that Widnes are targeting. They want to get to Wembley. Of course, there is an IMG, a bonus point, or well, it's point one of a point or whatever it is. For winning the 1895 Cup, which of course adds another attraction to it. But you'd have to say York's probably the toughest draw. York away is arguably the toughest draw Widnes could have got.
Yeah, I agree. Maybe Oldham you could throw in there as well. I think Oldham are another side, aren't they? They're on the rise and bringing the town and rugby league back together. That's another fixture. I think a team that really have Wembley, you know, in the sights, as are we, and York as well. They're probably, you know, the other team as well. I've never been to the LNER Stadium and had an easy day. Whenever we've been up there, it's been a battle. We're going to have to do it the hard way. We're going to have to do it tough. And that league fixture that you mentioned a couple of minutes ago, you're going to have to replicate a performance like that in terms of fighting till the bitter end. Obviously, on that day, it was a bit of a get out of jail one, wasn't it? A smash and grab and Mike Butt finishing in the corner to get the win in the last minute. But the last minute is the key, isn't it? You've got to put an 80-minute performance in, and your forwards have got to go to war. Your halfbacks have got to control the game, you know, and capitalize on the pressure that you managed to put on York. I think a big part of the game for me will be how much field position can we actually enjoy in York's half. It's something at times we've struggled with this year. You know, we score points when we're down in teams 30 metres, but it's getting down there and how often we can do it. Our goal line defence is usually pretty good, it's fair to say.
Yeah, so the quarterfinals are Bradford against Sheffield, Featherstone against London, Oldham against Barrow, and of course York against Widnes. York and Widnes actually the first two losers of the 1895 Cup final at Wembley. York lost to Featherstone in 2021. Widnes, of course, lost the first one in 2019. There wasn't one in 2020 due to COVID. So both have tasted Wembley in the recent past, but come out on the wrong side of it. Looking at York, you've sort of touched a little bit on York's form going into this match. They do start the seasons slow. They lost to Old Car in the Challenge Cup. They got pumped by Oldham in the first league game. They lost by a point at home to Toulouse. They then beat Halifax in the 1895 Cup, but then lost to Halifax the week after in the league. But since then, they've picked up two pretty credible away wins at Batley and against Barrow. Both fairly difficult places to go. Two of the tougher trips in terms of playing teams in the bottom half of the table, perhaps. So just a few signs that maybe they're starting to get somewhere. I mean, last season, I think they won one of their first seven league games or something like that. So very slow start last season. Of course, they changed coach and Mark Applegarth came in and they were a lot better. Even the season before, they only won, I think, four of their first 10 or 11, which again isn't, you know, that's mid-table at best. So you're right in what you say that they are slow to get going, but it feels like looking at their last two results that they are starting maybe to get somewhere. And at the moment, I'm a bit unsure as to where Widnes are at. Widnes have basically had every game Widnes have played this season as being very close. I mean, the Rochdale one, they won by 18. That was if you take that one out of it, every other game has potentially been on a bit of a knife edge. And even the Warrington defeat, even though Widnes lost by 10, they were in that game till very late on. But it's hard to know whether a Widnes good at, well, I mean, Widnes are good at coming out on the top of the arm wrestle, that, but have Widnes just been riding their luck a little bit and still getting these victories in these close games, and can it go on, or are they going to find York too tough this weekend?
I think to a point you're right, riding your luck. I think we've seen after the Batley game sometimes a defeat you can, certainly even as fans, you learn a bit more from, and certain things get weeded out a bit more. And after that game, Alan expressed, didn't he, that's been coming for a few weeks, which from a coach's perspective, that gives us insight, doesn't it, that although we've been winning, he's not been quite happy and satisfied, and he's thoroughly aware, you know, you can't keep scraping through games, not being at your best. You've got to be on your mettle. Having said that, you know, we have won them games apart from Batley, and that is a credit to the team. But for me, despite what the form book says, you've got to go York and play well to win. you do. You know, some of them victories that we've got in rounds just gone against some of the teams you've just mentioned, if you put in a performance like that, you'll get beat. It's as simple as that. This is a quality York side. And I think the one thing that we didn't touch upon about York just then is they've dipped the toe into the transfer market already. I think Ben Jones-Bishop and Mitch Clark have arrived there to bolster their squad. And I think they've got a Queensland Cup outside back who's ready to make his debut on Sunday as well. So they're strengthening also. So we need to be on form, and we need to be a bit more clinical with ball in hand, I think, to get the win. It's going to be a difficult test.
Yeah, they added a few faces of Paul McShane, probably the most noteworthy one in the off-season, to strengthen their squad. But a lot of the players have been there for a few years, so they've got a solid foundation and a decent number of players who've played with each other for a few years. Widnes, is there a little bit of a... Well, they might have a surprise up their sleeve before the match, but based on Alan Coleman's comments recently, are you a bit surprised that we haven't seen any movement in for Widnes?
To a point, yeah. But when I sit back and think about it, James, and this comes back to the conversation that we was having last week and the week before a little bit. Although you want a bit more depth to the team, at the same time, like apart from Lewis Hall, obviously, Nick Gregson's ban and Jordan Johnson, what we've got a near fit team. We've got, you know, Joe Edge was 18th man last week. You throw him back into the mix, you'd assume he's fit and raring to go. And it's a strong team. It's near as strong as you can get. So maybe the decision's been made to just carry it over for a week. And especially with, I mean, this is putting two and two together, making five, because I've had no confirmation that Kai Taylor-Ray will be playing. But he grew into that game last week. And I've watched that game back in the comments you made about Jack Owens, and he had a solid game at centre, and maybe that's something that Alan wants to, you know, keep building on. And, you know, whilst everybody else is fully fit, ready to go again with what he's got.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with the position that it's pointless signing players who aren't going to be starting 13 candidates, in my opinion. You know, I don't see a great deal of value in signing a player who isn't better than what you've already got. Yeah, I understand you need depth, but unless you're signing, you know, Nene McDonald, who's just signed for Oldham for a few weeks, who would clearly walk into Widnes's team, I think you're a bit... I just don't see the point in bringing players in who aren't going to at least ask a question about whether they'd get into your team. And of course, there's not, you know, Widnes certainly probably aren't fishing in the same pool as Oldham. And there's not many Nene McDonalds about. So I think I'm probably of the same opinion as you in that. I think Widnes's team as it is, Joe, especially if Joe Edge comes back in.
Ryan Lannan as well, who missed out.
I think it's hard to see. It's hard to see where they're going to pull a player from that would improve what they've got at the moment. I mean, I don't, like I say, I'm not au fait with every, you know, I can't think of many players who aren't getting games somewhere else, as an example, who you would be automatically thinking, oh, let's try and pull him at Widnes. And I think ultimately you've also got the Salford conundrum as well, because any competent player that becomes available will almost certainly be on Salford's radar. Because they, as much as they've still got ongoing problems, they're losing, they've lost three frontline players already. McDonald's only going out on loan. He'll be going back there, but they've still, once they do get sorted, they're going to need to add players to their squad to see them through to the season. So if you're a player who's not playing at a Super League club, you're probably best hanging on to see whether, you know, take Ben Davies at St. Helens as a relatively poor example, because, you know, he's full time, but someone like him is probably more than likely going to get picked up by Salford than have to go and play at Widnes. That's the way I see it at the moment, to be honest. But we'll have to wait and see. We're talking about Nenny McDonald there. For the listeners who don't know, he's joined Oldham for 3 weeks, which is bad news for Widnes because he'll play against Widnes in a few weeks for Oldham, because he can't play for Salford because Salford are still under the salary cap restrictions. And they've basically not registered Nenny McDonald on the salary cap yet because of their restrictions. And so he's not been able to play. So they've sent him to Oldham. I presume Oldham are giving him a bit of cash and he can keep his match fitness at Oldham. What do you make of that situation?
I'm glad you explained that one, James. I think it's just another chapter in the episode of what's playing out. I just think it's completely ridiculous. We were speaking off camera, wasn't we? And it's like the sustainability cap, like they're still paying a player, but he just can't play. And it's like trying to force Salford to get their act together, but then it's not really working out. And it's just going on and on and on now, isn't it? It's frustrating and it's damaging. It's damaging to the game because, I mean, we might touch on the Ashes and the tickets going on sale in a bit. But, you know, you've got that as a celebration and tickets going well on the first day, and then you've still got in your top tier this ongoing charade at Salford in your, you know, your prize asset in the Super League.
Yeah, go on.
And we've just, we're coming off the back of a really successful first day of selling tickets for the Ashes, which I'm sure we'll come on to in a bit.
Got tickets? Hang on, let's go on to it now, because I'm hoping I'll be working, to be honest, but I registered my interest, but I've not had an email or anything, so I've not got any tickets. And if you go on that rugbyleague.com/the Ashes, it doesn't work anymore, and so I don't know what's going on.
I managed to get some for the Everton game via the email and the link, but it took me, I was trying to do it whilst I was in work, to be honest, mate, and in classic rugby league style, the link wasn't the best, but I managed to get me tickets. But like I say, it's...
Does everyone have their own link? Is that how it works?
Yeah. But you have to create an account. Yeah, it's very messy. You're coming off the back of a successful first day of tickets getting sold, and you know it's something to celebrate. The international calendar's back on the up, and yet you've still your prized possession in Super League. You know, your main competition has got this side functioning for not just weeks now, months on end, the way they are with the sustainability cap, and some of the players are having to go to lower league clubs now to get some game time. It's just, again, it's just amateur hour, isn't it? It's a real mess. But at the same time, you know, fair play to Oldham. You know, if you can get a player of Nene McDonald's quality, he's only going to be an asset to you, isn't he, and a weapon. And I think they're sitting, granted, played one game more than us, but, you know, they're sat second, and he'll only add to the case of trying to finish in them playoff places.
Yeah, it's a funny old one. Certainly, it's rare that a player of his caliber becomes available. I suppose you could compare it to having dual reg, I suppose, but it's a shame for Widnes. You know, he's gonna play. I mean, Oldham have had a pretty strong squad anyway, even before they added Nene McDonald. I mean, who's going to miss out? They've got Jordan Turner and Ian Thornley, who played their fair share of Super League games between them. It'd be an interesting. Of course, Juma Sambu's been banned, hasn't he, recently? So maybe that was another thought. Although, I mean, it doesn't really matter who's injured or suspended. If you sign Nene McDonald, to be perfectly honest, it doesn't matter whether anyone's injured or suspended. He'd be playing anyway. Obviously, just a short one this week, but let's go through our predictions. I know you've been looking forward to this, Mike. Last week's predictions, a few upsets, a few surprise results. Well, I say a few. One definite surprise, which was that Doncaster beat Toulouse, and you were kicking yourself because you sort of half fancied backing Doncaster, but then chickened out.
Yeah, I didn't have the bottle, mate. I just thought they had the pack to do it. I think that's half the battle with beating Toulouse. You know, you've got to go at it for the 80, and you've got to get in a grind and match their forwards. Where I was a bit unsure was when we went up Doncaster, didn't we? And arguably their game management probably let themselves down, didn't they? And if the game management was better, they'd have won that game. Connor Robinson, I think, was 18th man against us, and he was obviously straight into the team for the Toulouse match. And, you know, maybe he was the difference. I didn't watch the game, but he's certainly that type of halfback who can control the game. So maybe he was the difference. Fair play to Doncaster, because they'll have been gutted getting beat by Widnes, because they really should have won that game, but they dust themselves down and they got the job done.
Yeah, I mean, tweeted me this, and I didn't reply to him at the time. But did you see the picture that they posted of Luke Briscoe's try on the graphic? And I've watched, and at the time when I seen it, I thought, oh, well, obviously anything that could have been after he put the ball down. But when I've seen the replay of the try, which you can't see the grounding because it's, you know, he's in between the ball and the camera. There can be no way that that picture was taken if he did ground the ball. I don't know if you've seen it, Mike, but yeah.
I haven't, to be honest. I'll have to look at it when.
Yeah, there's a picture of Luke Briscoe basically dropping the ball over the line is basically what's right. Happened. And that was the try, I think. That was actually the decisive try.
It wouldn't be rugby league, would it, without any controversy, would it?
But fair play to Doncaster. That was a good win for them. London beat Hunslet. We both backed London. We were a little on the fence. We thought Hunslet might give them a bit of a game, and I suppose they got within 20 of them. But yeah, Hunslet, I don't know whether they maybe fell in love with themselves a bit too early, Hunslet, because, like I say, after the Widnes game, they were talking about, oh, they should have beat Widnes and Bradford. And then they've sort of dipped again. Sunday's games now. York won fairly handsomely at Barrow, 36-12. I tipped Barrow, so that's a one-up for you. Bradford were comfortable winners at Featherstone in the end, 48-24. Halifax just rolling on, aren't they? 50 points to 6.
I've got to take me off to Kyle Eastmond and Halifax, because I keep on saying, you know, waiting for the injuries to come and see what they're like then, but they're not coming and the performances aren't slowing down. Arguably, they're getting better. I am Halifax nowhere near the position that they're in. So fair play to everybody who's involved there at the moment.
What I find really interesting about it, and you mentioned Kyle Eastmond there, is that nobody's talking about it. Nobody's talking about Kyle Eastmond. I remember I went to the championship season launch at Oldham, and a few of the journos were a bit miffed because Kyle Eastmond and Brian Noble weren't there. Now, clearly, they're the two highest profile coaches, or the, you know, they're the two stories that would sell, you know, into a national newspaper.
Yeah.
But I don't recall seeing anything really with Kyle Eastmond, any coverage beyond the, you know, the very hyper local club stuff. And I just wonder how long it's going to be until people start noticing that Halifax are doing well. Kyle Eastman's the coach, because, you know, and I'm wondering how long it will take for someone to say, oh, he'll be a candidate for the St. Helens job. Or, you know what I mean? I'm sort of waiting for that. If he carries on going as he is, them sort of things are going to start being said.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, he's a massive name for the Championship. And, you know, realistically, if you look at that job that Liam Finn left last year, it was a club who was in a bit of bother, obviously, off the field, but on the field as well, in terms of the performances wasn't quite there. It's always quite a high expectation at Halifax, you know, usually traditionally in them playoff spots and you know, fell away and lost players along the process. And, you know, you put Kyle Eastmond in there, who, let's have it right, hasn't really got a great experience on his CV for rugby league coaching. Big name, of course, but dropping him in there and you're thinking, this player who's played at the highest level, more notably in rugby union, being put in there, is that a recipe for disaster? Is it going to work? And by God, I've listened to some of his post-match interviews and I can't believe how well he comes across. And he comes across as a really likeable guy as well. And he just talks sense. And whatever he's doing there, he's clearly onto something. And he's clearly got something about him. And sometimes these people just come along from time to time, don't they? Where, you know, coaching just suits them. And certainly right now, you know, he's not put a foot wrong, has he?
Yeah, I'd be interested to see how long it goes. I mean, in some ways, it might be a little bit too early to get carried away. I mean, they've played Barrow, Featherston and Batley at home, which, to be fair, is a decent, you know, you'd expect to beat Barrow, Batley at home, with all due respect. Featherston aren't great this season, so you'd have that one down. But they've won away at both Sheffield and York. And I suppose at the moment, you can only beat what's in front of them. It'll be interesting to see how they go when they maybe start coming up against some of the more fancy teams. But then at the same time, we say it all the time that there's not really that much to call between a lot of these teams. So it's hard to sort of figure out what is going to be the game. They've got a week off this week, then they play Hunslet. I think we touched upon this last week. They've got the big game against Bradford on Good Friday. That might be their first real sort of, right, what's the barometer of where they're at. I think where they're really going to get a test is, I presume maybe the pitch is getting reseeded or something at the end of the football season. They play Oldham away. They have a bye week, and then it's the cup final. So they basically have, and then it's Widnes away. So they've got two weekends off between playing Oldham away and playing Widnes away in June, and then they play Featherston away. So that's three really tough games in succession that they're going to have there. So maybe that'll be when we can decipher just how good Halifax are. And then the other game last week was Sheffield 8, Oldham 20. I backed Oldham, you backed Sheffield. I saw a few murmurings of discontent about Craig Lingard, actually, from some Sheffield fans after that one.
Yeah, funny one, Sheffield, because they've let a couple of players go. Touched on with York, actually, about Mitch Clark and Ben Jones-Bishop. I think Sheffield fans need to stay patient, to be honest. I think the personnel they've got there still, it's the nucleus of a really good team. They've gone through a bit of turmoil with, obviously, Mark Aston's situation. I think a club who were used to somebody coaching for so long to certainly, you know, have that change and dropped on them where they come, you know, really prepare for it last year. I think they've hired a really capable coach, somebody who I think personally they should stick with. I think they will come good. But I think as well what people are maybe missing with Sheffield is Keith Senior went to Bradford. I think Simon Brown as well, I think he's took up a post maybe at Super League club, I remember seeing in the week. And that's your coaching staff as well behind the scenes. So I think there's been a lot of change at Sheffield over the off-season, and I think it'll be just one of them. Maybe it's, you know, it won't be this season and it'll be next, but I think they'll come back. They'll come back. I think they just need to stay patient and get through this process and just keep building, because I don't think they're a million miles off. And let's have it right, James. I think they was winning 8-6 in that game for large periods. Obviously, Oldham won it in the second half, but Oldham are second, aren't they? I think, you know, it's fine margins in this Championship, and I think you can jump the gun a little bit, and they're probably probably the fans are getting a little bit greedy as well, because they've had so much success in you know, recent times in terms of being used to finishing in them playoffs.
Yeah. Right, so the big ones then. Well, we don't know. Do we tip the 1895 Cup, or are we going to tip? Well, we might as well.
We did last time, didn't we? Because that's when you your nose in front, didn't you?
We're actually level at 22 apiece at the moment. My main success last weekend was in the media tipping league. I correctly predicted that Hull would win by 10, so getting an exact score is almost the holy grail in the media tipping competition. So I was happy to do that on. Right, who are you going for then? Bradford, Sheffield.
Bradford at home. I think it's got to be Bradford. I think they're the favourites for the 1895. So they should be. They've all already been knocked off the perch a couple of times, haven't they? Sides really gunning for them, but they should by right win that game, and they are favourites for the competition. I think if it was Widnes or York going there, or maybe even Oldham, I might have been tempted to go the other way. But I think, like we've just discussed with Sheffield, maybe just not confident enough as a team to get over the line. So I'll say Bradford.
Featherstone London is an interesting one, because of course London beat Featherstone in the league, and that pretty much meant the end for James Ford. So maybe Featherstone with a point to prove, but they've not been great, have they?
No, they haven't. I don't know if anybody's listened to Paul Cook's post-match interview after the Bradford game last week. Paul Cook's obviously now the coach there, and it was he didn't hold back, let's just say that, and it's an interesting listen. It was very honest, shall I say, post-match interview. I think for me, Featherstone have got to turn good at some point. They've got to start putting some wins together. London, they're all right 1 week. The next week, they're shocking. Then they're good. They're struggling for consistency. So I'll back Featherstone. I'll back Featherstone.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go Featherstone. I think just the home advantage. Oldham Barrow. Got to be Oldham, has it?
It's got to be. I think Barrow have surprised me how well they've started the season. And, you know, credit to Paul Crary. He gets absolutely everything out of his men, doesn't he? They're probably, if it wasn't for Batley in the division, Barrow probably don't get mentioned as much as what Batley do, but they do similar, certainly on their own pitch. You know, a real tough side who dig in, and you know, it's, you're always up for a tough away day when you go Barrow. But yeah, I think Oldham too good, too strong. They're riding a wave at the moment, aren't they? So yeah, Oldham for me.
And then the very last one, the big one, York against Widnes.
Yeah. I've got this as a 50-50 one, James, to be honest. It's a toss of the coin.
I'm sure you say that every week.
Well, yeah, I do about certain games, to be fair. I mean, to be fair, I'm half tempted to bet against us, because when I've done that, we've pulled some out the bag, like the Toulouse game. God, there couldn't have been any more wrong. There's four coaches going up for Widnes. We're near full strength. I'm going to back us because apart from the Warrington game, we've not been near our best. So maybe this week's the week. I'm going to give it us.
Yeah, I'm going to go Widnes as well. Partly because, yeah, I have to speak to Alan Coleman after the game. I sort of said it in jest to you there about the toss of a coin. Widnes ultimately make sure that they've got a chance in every game that they play. Yeah. Sort of having a We talked about it on his, but I had a joke. I even had a joke with Alan about it. Like, if you want to watch a competitive game of rugby, watch Widnes, because no matter who they play, home or away, it's generally a competitive game. They don't really blow anybody away, and they never really get blown away by anybody else. And what that actually means is it does make it difficult to predict them, because you could probably look at any game Widnes play and fancy them to win. But at the same time, you wouldn't be necessarily massively surprised if they got beat. You know, York's a different one, where clearly York are one of the better teams, and it's a close one to call. But yeah, I'm gonna bat Widnes. Think maybe the week off might have helped freshen some minds and freshen some bodies. Reflect on the good points of this season so far, of which, you know, I've only lost one game. Two games if you include the Challenge Cup one, but there's a lot of positives from that Challenge Cup game. And although they've had narrow wins against other teams, they've been wins. And so I think there's enough there to say that they can do it. And I think there'll also be a lot of disappointment if they don't do it, because, you know, clearly they've gone out on a... I know last season's 1895 Cup was a bit of a disaster, wasn't it, with the defeat to Swinton. That felt like that was a missed opportunity. This year they wanted to put it right. Not just put it right, but, of course, the opportunity of getting to Wembley and, you know, winning a trophy. And hopefully that'll be the big motivating factor at the weekend.
Yeah, it's massive. It's special. And there's so many people in the fan base as well, which Wembley means so much to, that, you know, people older than us, James, you know, remember actually going and seeing Widnes there in the, you know, the actual Challenge Cup. But the current's massive. And that reflects, you know, I was saying before, four coaches heading down, plus your cars. You know, for a quarter final, there's not many championship sides who do that, is there, these days, for a game. Certainly it, on the other side of the Pennines. I think the other thing as well, where I'm just like edging to Widnes more, is I think mentioned earlier about, you know, the doubts at York, and they're probably, we probably got the more settled team where they're a few more in and outs, and obviously Higano and Harris, they're making late calls on them players, which are part of the spine. But also I have a feeling, you know, we may get to see Taylor Ray, and we've seen signs of it at Doncaster, didn't we? Now, if you can him a week better for the combinations, he's got the potential to really open that game up with the spine, and obviously Jack in the centres. So I think you're going there for the first time as well, maybe in recent times, where you've got real pace to hurt somebody from deep as well as close to the line.
Yeah, we'll wait and see for the squad announcement, and hopefully it'll be a positive one for Widnes. Mike, thanks for your company as ever. Enjoy the game this weekend, and we'll see you next week.